time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Well, let's build our hopes on things eternal.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a hand we can hold to this morning? Amen. God bless you. I want to make a couple of announcements. Lord willing, next Sunday will be Easter. We'll just be having our regular Sunday morning and Sunday evening services then. And the next youth Bible study that we'll be having will be Thursday, April the 27th at 7:30 here at church. We'll be having that for the youth in the basement, ages 10 and up. And we'll announce more about that closer to that time. I also just want to thank everyone that helped doing the landscaping and the spring cleaning and everything over the weekend. The church looks wonderful and certainly appreciate that. And got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Jacob Conder, he's not feeling well. I want to remember him in prayer. I also have an unspoken prayer request that Brother Arnie and Sister Alice wanted to put in. And Brother Barry Weber, his nephew that was ran over by a vehicle, they're seeing small signs of improvement. So I want to praise the Lord for that. But just want to continue to remember that situation in prayer. And Brother Furman's aunt, she was turned over to hospice. So I want to continue to remember her in prayer, that the Lord just give her a touch. And Brother Morris, my uncle, he's having back surgery on Wednesday. So I want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Vera turned in a couple prayer requests, said, I'm requesting prayer for a coworker that has been diagnosed with breast cancer. They said that the cancer has spread to her bones and the pelvis. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. And also she says a friend of ours, her nephew was in a bad car accident and suffered head trauma. His situation is critical. So I want to remember that request. And then Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Tim Pruitt, and Brother Eddie Biskel, and Brother Donnie Reagan are all traveling to Switzerland on Tuesday for some Easter meetings there in Switzerland. Brother Donnie had texted me and asked me that we would just remember them in prayer for traveling mercies and for the services there. So I want to remember those situations in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer with these requests?
Aren't you thankful this morning He is Jehovah Jireh? Yeah. Just presence of the Lord is so real this morning. Amen. You discuss things on the way to church sometimes, and then you walk in and the musician starts a particular chorus that just speaks to that, and then Brother Furman comes and sings a song that just speaks to that, and you realize that He is Jehovah Jireh, and He rides in the car with you. He's on the job with you. He's there in your home with you. He's at school with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Yes. And He wants to take care of that need this morning. There's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing too big that you can't bring it and lay it at His feet, and He'll take care of it. Let's speak to Him this morning, if you'll bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful this morning. Our hearts are overwhelmed, Lord, with Your goodness and Your mercy to us and Your grace. And Lord, the love that You show to us. Just little things, Lord, that You do. The song that is sung. The words that are spoken, Lord. And You let us know that I'm aware. I know what You're going through. I've seen what You have been fighting. I see what You've been battling with. It didn't escape me. It didn't get past me. Father, we bring these requests to You this morning, Lord. People that are in need, Lord. Things that we don't have the ability or the power to fix. We would, if we could go to them, we would fix it, Lord. Your prophet said many times, if I could, I would heal you. But He's already done it. God, we're thankful this morning that the work's already done. Lord, when You cried, it is finished from that cross. It was over. Just help us to walk into it and accept it this morning, Lord. Bring Your word forth this morning with power and unction of the Holy Spirit. Speak to every need that is in this building, Lord. Walk up and down these aisles, Lord, in between these pews. And Lord, let Your children know just how much You love them this morning. And Lord, we'll do everything that we can to let You know how much we love You back. For God, we couldn't love You except first You loved us. Revealed Yourself to us, made Yourself real, Lord, in our lives. We give You praise and glory this morning. We thank You for touching each of these requests, Lord. We ask that You would go with the brothers as they travel overseas. We ask that You would go into the hospital room of Brother Barry Weber's kinfolk, Lord, dear Jesus, and each of these other requests, Lord, the ones that I don't even remember, Lord. Brother Morris Bright, Lord, that's getting ready to go into surgery, Lord. Lord, each and every request, God, you care about it and you know about it and you've already taken care of it, Lord. We give you praise and glory now in Jesus' name. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to read the 44th chapter this morning. That's 4:4. We'll read from 1 through 13, and if the Lord will tarry, we'll finish it up next week. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their day and in the times of old. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, and neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and in the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Through thee will we push down our enemies, and through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us.
For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me.
But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us.
In God we boast all day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah.
But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathens. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. God bless you. Please be seated.
This time we have a special from Brother Joel, Sister Christy Heron Basic, and Brother Luke and Sister Stephanie Nicholson.
Thank you.
Aren't you thankful to be covered this morning?
Amen.
Amen. This is 26 in your handbook.
Well, on the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory doth fill. Oh, I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion. Although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, I'm invited.
Stand this morning. City.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed wash like snow, oh, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over all the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, or that city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, just praise him this morning. We'll sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in. And then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll be washed like snow. Oh, free from all sin, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing. Glory, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then our Savior will give orders to prepare that banquet board, when the redeemed are gathering in. And then we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Aren't you looking forward to it? When the redeemed are gathering in. Watch like snow, free from all sin. I'm gonna shout, oh, I'm gonna sing. When the redeemed, oh, turn around, shake somebody's hand this morning. saints will sing redemption story with our voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, but the angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song. When the redeemed are gathered, oh, that ought to make us happy this morning. When the redeemed, oh, aren't you thankful you've been redeemed? Washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, I will shout, I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in. Let's sing that again. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in. Angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed, oh, thank you, Lord, washed like snow, free from all sin, oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said angels will have to stand there with their heads bowed, their shoulders stooped over, because they don't know what it means to be redeemed. But I'm thankful this morning that I know what it means to be redeemed. Amen. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, but he came down and freely he gave to me the gift of redemption. He called my name before the foundation of the world. He was my lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. But then he came down here and went through the acts of it and through the pain of it, through the striping and the beating and taking of what should have been my punishment. I'm thankful I'm redeemed this morning.
Amen.
Amen. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, if you turn with me this morning. St. Matthew, chapter 6. And want to begin at verse 9. This passage, probably every one of you can quote it, even down to some of the youngest children. But just want to read this and kind of lay a foundation for the sermon this morning. Jesus speaking, he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, not Nathan Bryant's will, not David Hoover's will, but his will be done right here on earth, even the way that it is in heaven. And he didn't say, give us a Ferrari and 8,000 square foot mansion. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily needs, our daily necessities. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes on to say, for if you forgive them, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne this morning, Lord, thanking you for just such a beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, and to be able to come into a building that you've blessed us with and to sing the songs of Zion, Lord, and Lord, I thank you for everyone that's been instrumental, Lord, in the service. Lord, the musicians, the song leader, the Sunday school teachers, the deacons and trustees, Lord, they all have had a part in it this morning. But Lord, not only them, but Lord, each and every one that brought their lick of fire this morning to come and bring praise and worship and lay it at your feet. Lord, everyone has a part this morning. And Lord, we want to do our part. Lord, I don't want to come and someone else have to do my part, but Lord, I want to do what you've ordained me to do. Lord, help us to, Lord, just to do our part with every bit of ability that you've given us.
Yes.
May we put our best effort forward, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with each one here this morning. Lord, maybe there's many that have needs. Maybe they're going through trials right now. Maybe they're in the middle of circumstances that they don't understand. Lord, as I had a brother text me yesterday and tell me he was going through some things. And Lord, I know that the hour is late and that you're preparing a bride, and that darkness is fighting the light, and the enemy is pressing in any way he can to try to upset and discourage and disturb. And he doesn't care how he gets us. He just wants to get us. And Lord, but I thank you that there's been a token that's been applied. Lord, and that your mercy and your grace is still on the throne this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that Lord, you still have grace for us. Lord, even through our shortcomings, even through our mistakes, Lord, you still have grace for us, and you still are ready to reach back and forgive us, Lord. But help us as we look at it this morning. If you've extended that type of grace to us, Lord, help us also to be able to forgive others.
Amen.
Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, may you guide me, lead my words, Lord, my actions. Lord, be with everything that's said and done. Lord, may it be pleasing to you. May it be an encouragement to others, Lord. And maybe it'll be a correction to some. Maybe it'll be a blessing. Maybe it'll be a freedom of bondage that some have been under, Lord. But Lord, may you just come and move in a mighty way in our midst this morning. We welcome your presence, Lord, not just in this physical building, Lord, but we welcome you in our hearts, Lord, to come and move as you would see fit, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to look at this thought this morning with the help of the Lord on the power to forgive. The power to forgive. Jesus says again in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, he says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, this is the word of God. This is the word spoken directly through the lips of Jesus. But we find many times there's two different groups of people. It seems like, I guess there's three, but there's two predominantly that seem like they have problems with this topic of forgiveness. And some people can have grace for themselves. They want, you know, like David, he wanted to stand there and judge the man that stole the little lamb that Nathan came and told him the parable of. And he said, he's worthy of death to go and do this. And Nathan turns and he said, "Well, you're the man." Well, then he wanted grace. And Judah, he stood there and he wanted to judge Tamar when she was caught in prostitution. But once he realized that he was the man, then he wanted grace. So there's many people that they want grace for themselves, but they have a hard time extending grace for others. Then there's some people that can have grace for somebody else. Oh, I know God could forgive their sins, but they have a hard time accepting grace for themselves. Oh, I just don't know. They didn't stoop as far as sin as I did, and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. But we want to look at this thought of the power to forgive this morning. And President Lincoln, in kind of the right in the midst of the intensity of the Civil War, he got up and he made a speech. And when he did, he referred to the Southerners as fellow human beings who were in error. He didn't call them a bunch of devils and serpent seed and that they was going to hell. He said they're fellow human beings who are in error. Now, there were some people there that just absolutely couldn't handle that. As I know, even sometimes when we get up and we read prayer requests like we did this morning, it just tears people apart that we would pray for some brothers on one side, and then others of you get all worked up if we get up and we say a prayer request about the camps or something that's going on at the tabernacle. If you're to a spot where you can't pray for somebody, then you should find your way to an altar somewhere. If you're to a spot where even if you disagree with somebody, whatever side or flavor you're on, you can't look like Abraham Lincoln and say, "Well, there are fellow human beings who are in error," then maybe you should look and take a good, strong look in the mirror and recognize the spirit that's working on you this morning. But Abraham Lincoln looks at this in the very height of the Civil War and the intensity of the battle, and he makes this comment that these Southerners are our fellow human beings who were in error. Now, there's this elderly lady there when he's giving the speech, and it's just more than she can handle. And she stands up and actually chastises the president for calling these people who she considered were irreconcilable enemies, that they should just be destroyed, for him using this kind of language about these people. And Mr. Lincoln turned to her and he replied and he said, "Why, madam, do not I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" She wanted them to be destroyed because she disagreed with them. And he said, "Well, if I make them my friends, aren't I destroying my enemy? They're not his enemy anymore." Peter came to Jesus in St. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" He's extending a lot of grace here. "You mean he could do me wrong seven times and I would still forgive him? I'm a pretty good guy, ain't I, Lord? Shall I forgive him seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now, I know there's a lot of you here that are much better mathematicians than me, but I believe that's 490 times. 70 times seven to forgive him. You think about your worst enemy this morning, if you've got one. That neighbor or that cousin or that somebody in the family or somebody at your job that they've done you wrong, and you've had to spend a lot of time in your prayer closet praying through to have the right kind of attitude about them, or maybe you haven't been doing that, but you should be. You think about how many times, how many things they've done to you and how many times you forgive them. I doubt it's reached anywhere near 490 times. But usually by about the third time, you know, we go like California, three strikes and you're out, the three strikes rule. You know, you fool me once, shame on me, you know, or shame on you. I'm going to pull a George W. this morning, Brother Hoover. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, shame on me, that I would fall for it the second time. Jesus says, keep going back and forgiving him 490 times. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven," he goes on to say in verse 23, "likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and beside him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" Now, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's a lot less money that this man owes him, but it's the exact same story repeated over again. "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts," you got to keep that part in mind, not from up here, "Oh, I know how to do it," "from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now, I don't know about you, but at our home, when our children do something, you know, one of them hits the other one upside the head with the plastic sword or something like that, you know, and, "Oh, we didn't mean to, it was an accident," we make them go and apologize. Go give your brother or your sister a hug and tell them you're sorry. And when they do that, if they don't do it and it doesn't seem like it's coming from the heart, no. Don't just do it and say, "I'm sorry," like a lot of us Christians do. I forgive you begrudgingly because I know I ought to because Jesus said this. No, say it like you mean it. That's what I tell my children. Go back and say it like you mean it. Many times we do things begrudgingly because we know it's the letter of the law, but Jesus said you have to do it from your heart. Amen. If you can't really forgive everyone, your brother, their trespasses from your heart. Again, St. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute and take a drink. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Why is this such a hard thing in this age for us to do? In this age of social media, when it's easier to tell Twitter or Facebook or some type of social media or to text our cousin about it or text our best friend and tell them about, oh, poor pitiful me, look at what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did. Jesus said, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. This is scripture. This is commandment. This is Jesus' teachings. Yet many times, because it's easier for us to go tell a relative or for us to go tell a close friend, we go and we share it with them, all of our woes and all of our troubles, and we haven't ever gone and tried to make this right with the person. Amen. Just checking to make sure it's still on this morning. It's easier to tell somebody we're close to. It's easier to tell somebody that's going to sympathize with us. Oh, my, you poor thing. Oh, I can't believe they would do that to you. I can't believe they would put you through that. They are so wrong. You know, Brother Branham wouldn't have put up with that. He wouldn't have stood for that type of treatment. You know, people treating his family like that. He would have went and put a stop to it. Yeah, that's right. Why don't you go put a stop to it instead of running your mouth to everybody else? But it's easier to go to our best friend and tell them, or go to our mommy or our daddy or our spouse or whoever it would be. It's easier because they're going to sympathize with us, and this person probably doesn't even want to hear what we're going to tell them. In fact, they're probably going to get mad, and it's probably going to be an uncomfortable situation, and so we would rather go with the easier path, the path where we're going to get sympathy, than to go and do what Jesus actually said. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, everybody wants to be treated this way. There's not anybody here, I don't think, that, you know, if they're in error, they want somebody running around telling everybody else their error and causing a scene, making a big deal about it before they even come to them. Every one of us would say, you treated me unfairly to do that. But when the shoe's on the other foot, and we're the ones in the uncomfortable position to have to go and confront this situation when we don't like confrontation and we don't like dealing with uncomfortable situations, then the exact thing that we would expect everybody to treat us that way and not want us to do, we go and we do that to the other people because it's easier. Yep. Sure is quiet in here this morning.
Amen.
If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Now, usually, if we get up the nerve to go and confront this situation and they reject us, usually we're going to say, well, hey, I tried my part. I went and I tried to reconcile. And Brother Nathan, they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't accept it. So that's just it. I did my part. No, he says there's a step two to this. Go and take one or two more with you, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So there's a third step too. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking about the power to forgive. Talking about God giving us a power to be able to forgive the situation. Brother Bram sat there in the service and he saw that young couple making out right in the middle of the service. And God speaks to him and says, I give them into your hands. Now, you couldn't have said that to a lot of people because they would have been carrying out two dead teenagers. Because they would have, you know, like Peter said, let's call down fire out of heaven. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are. They wanted to do all this. John and Peter and them, they were going to call down fire out of heaven. And yet Jesus says, you know not what spirits you're of. But many times God can't trust us with that kind of power, because we would use it in the wrong way. But he gives this into the hands of Brother Branham. He says, here's the situation. Do with them what you will. And he says, I forgive you. He could have called for blindness, and I believe they would have been blind. He could have called for death, and I believe they would have dropped right there. God put them in his hands. You do whatever you want. And instead of doing that, instead of taking the power to go and curse them or to go and smite them blind or to strike them dead, he took that power, and he said, I forgive you. Now, most of us, when it's something in regards to us, we want grace extended, and we want God, when we fall on our face 47 times in 1 week over the same thing over and over and over, and we keep picking ourselves back up and saying, God, help me not to do it again. We want God to just continually extend that grace. We lean real heavy on that 490 when it comes to us. But when it comes to somebody else, after God has forgiven us, just like this parable of the man that owed all the money, look at all of your past and all of your debts that you owed, all the things, little things that you had done that was unpleasing to God. And he came and not only forgave you of them, but gave his life to forgive you of them. And then somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're ready to pull out a shotgun. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Brother Branham said it's one of the saddest scriptures. There, the holiest city, the holiest people, crucified him, the holiest one. There they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's just, it's almost Easter, let's just look back at this scene just a little bit. They've taken him from the garden, from the middle of a prayer meeting that he was having, and they've put him into captivity. His disciples have ran off and left him. They've taken and they've scourged him, they've beat him. They beat him with a whip that literally would tear the flesh off of a human being's body. They've beat him and beat him. They've taken, they've ripped handfuls of beard out of his face. They've spit in his face. They've taken a crown of thorns and forced it down over his head. The blood begins to trickle out of his forehead and down the back of his head from these thorns that they forced down around his head. And they've put a purple robe on him, and they've hit him over the head with the stick and blindfolded him and said, tell us, who hits you on the head if you be the Christ? And he knew before the foundation of the world exactly what the man's name was going to be that would hit him on the head, knew what his address was, knew what his daddy's name and his mommy's name and his wife's name and their children's name and his age and his weight and his favorite food and his favorite type of clothes. And he knew all about it from before the foundation of the world. And this guy laughs and hits him on the top of the head with a stick and says, if you be a prophet, tell us who hits you. They've taken and they've forced his hands down on a piece of wood and drove spikes through each hand and through his feet. They've done all these things. They've buffeted him. They've smacked him around. They've spit on him. And he's hanging there dying and having to pull himself up on the cross with all the strength that he has just to be able to catch a breath. And he's laying there. And with one of those breaths, he takes a breath and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And somebody make fun of us because of the church we go to, or because of the prophet that we follow, or because we're Christians and because the sisters wear their hair long or wear the right type of clothes and we're just ready to go off on them. He said, Father, forgive them. When they took Stephen in Acts chapter 7, they dragged him out of the city there. They were so angry at him, they began to gnash on him with their teeth, and they rushed at him and they stoned him. He kneels down in verse 16. He cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Which we know a Christian doesn't die, but it's talking about his flesh body. He didn't just take a nap. He died. His flesh body, this veil of flesh dropped. He fell asleep. But he died crying, Lord, lay not this sin at their charge. Now, this was a man that hadn't done anything wrong. They weren't taking him out and beating him because he stole somebody's horse or because, you know, he committed adultery or because he told a lie on somebody. He was standing out there proclaiming the gospel and telling them how they took the Prince of Peace with wicked hands and crucified him. And he's pouring his heart out and preaching the gospel. And they drag him out in the middle of the city and take rocks and beat his head in. And as he's dying, he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Many of us, it's okay, we can forgive somebody if we're in the wrong, and they're in the wrong too, and we're kind of both in the wrong. Well, it's okay, we forgive you. But when it's only them that's in the wrong, and we haven't done anything wrong, sometimes it's a little harder to forgive. Well, I didn't do anything wrong, though. It wasn't me that did anything wrong. And usually the hardest type of person to forgive is the type of person that they didn't apologize in the first place. They don't care nothing about your forgiveness. But these men weren't apologizing as they beat his head in with stones, saying, "Sorry about this one, Stephen, and oops, I didn't mean to throw that one, Stephen." They meant exactly what they were doing. They weren't apologetic for it. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" Now, Brother Brandon picks this up in the Church Age book, page 279. And he says, notice how these are crying out for vengeance. They cannot be bride material. The bride turns the cheek and cries, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He says, these are Jews. He goes on a little further and he says they were truly faithful to all the world word they knew and died for it as multitudes died under Hitler, Stalin, etc. and will yet die. These gave their life not for the testimony of Jesus Christ, but for the testimony of the word. They didn't profess Jesus Christ. And here they are, these souls under the altar crying, "How long until you avenge us?" Because we weren't killed because of something evil that we did. We were just killed because we were Jews under Hitler and Stalin and Eichmann and Mussolini and different ones. And here they are crying out for vengeance. And a prophet of God looks down and as this fifth seal is open, and an angel comes and reveals it to him. And he comes and reveals it to the people. He's standing there and he recognizes this can't be bride material because they can't forgive. They're crying for vengeance. You know, it's an interesting thing how that, why didn't God just send the angel directly to us and reveal the seals? Why did he bypass that direct path and go through a prophet? Because he's always done that way. Even when he was there with the disciples, you notice, and I know this upsets some people, but Brother Branham said it. He said, Jesus broke the bread and handed it to his ministers. And they went and took and gave it to the people. Amen. Jesus didn't hand the fish and the loaves directly to the people. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, and they took it and gave it to the people. People have a problem with that today, but God doesn't change his way of doing things. Amen. You know, people want to bypass the prophet or bypass the ministry or bypass all these things. I want to take it just exactly the way that God laid it out for us to have. And these souls under the altar, under this revelation of the fifth seal, he recognizes these can't be the bride because they're crying for vengeance, but yet the bride would turn the other cheek and forgive. Many of you have maybe read of some missionaries. I think Brother Stephen and I have talked about it before, maybe some others. There were some missionaries to Ecuador back in the 1950s by the name of Jim Elliott and Nate Saint. And these men with three other missionaries, they went down to Ecuador to try to missionary to some of the tribal natives down there. And as they were trying to take the gospel to them, and Nate Saint was an airplane pilot, he would fly low over where the tribe was. They had spotted him by airplane and seen this tribe remotely back in where no one was going. And they would take and fly the plane real low, and they would drop gifts down to the natives. And then eventually they landed there, and they would go down the beach and try to get contact with them. And they made contact with a few of them and was trying to bring the gospel to them. But one of these natives goes back and lies to the rest of the tribe about why they're there. And these tribal natives come out and kill Jim Elliott and Nate Saint and these other three missionaries. Now, these were nominal men. They went to the Wheaton College where Billy Graham was associated with. And they were just nominal men. But yet through their efforts, they were trying to contact and spread the gospel to this tribe of Ecuadorian natives. And they come out and they slaughter all five of these missionaries. And yet, you know, it would have been hard maybe for some of you, if it was your husband that went and was trying to missionary and these tribal natives come and kill him, to be able to forgive, because they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just trying to spread the gospel, trying to get the gospel into the hands of people that had never heard it. But instead of holding bitterness in their hearts, instead of hating these natives, Elizabeth Elliot, who was Jim Elliot's wife and Nate Saint's sister, Rachel Saint, they started to continue the missionary work that these men had done and took the gospel to these natives. And many of them were converted to Christianity. And even the men that had killed her husband and the other one's brother were converted to Christianity. Now, fast forward a few years, and Nate Saint's oldest son, Steve Saint, begins to travel to Ecuador to visit his family that's over there as missionaries. And eventually he was baptized by a man who was a native preacher over there in the name of Jesus Christ. And it turned out that the man that baptized him was the man that had killed his father. It would be hard for us to forgive somebody in a situation like that. But God looks down through time and has a predestinated plan. And I'm sure Nate Saint, if he could testify this morning, would tell us it was worth it to see my son baptized. It was worth it to see these natives receive Christ as their Savior. It was worth every bit of it. Don't hold it against them. Forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Saint Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Christ didn't come and forgive us once we signed an addendum of how good of Christian we were going to be. He didn't come and forgive us once we agreed, you know, if you'll just come and do this, we'll live a good, holy life. He came and did it when we were unlovable. He came and did it when the rest of the world would have said we were unsavable, when we were unredeemable. In fact, for us Gentiles, we were just a bunch of heathens that they didn't think there was any hope for us. But he came and gave his life when we were in that condition. Not with the stipulation that I'll do this if you'll do that. It was a free gift that he gave. And Paul turns around and says, "You forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You forgive even when there's no intention of that person feeling sorry for what they did. You forgive when that person doesn't care whether you forgive them or not. You forgive even if that person hasn't apologized to you. That's a tall order. He says, "You forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's hard for us to do sometimes. Sometimes you can look back down through your life's history, and maybe there were things that were done to you as a child. Maybe there was a bully at your grade school or your high school that pushed you around and kicked you around, and he never felt sorry for it, and he doesn't lose any sleep over it. But it's bothered you for years, and maybe even in your developing years, some of the things that happened to you with situations like that at school, of getting pushed around or made fun of, it actually molded a little bit of your character. And you put up a guard, you put up a wall, and you won't let people in because of these situations that happened way back then, because you can't forgive Tommy or whatever his name was on the playground way back when in 1974. You can't forgive them. And it bothers you, and you can't wait till the next high school reunion so you can give him a piece of your mind. And then you get there and you don't get up the courage to do it. And it bothers you, and it develops your character, and you get bitterness and malice and wrath over some of these situations because you don't have the power to forgive. Well, you do have it. You just won't use it. And it bothers you, and it keeps you up at night, and it's back there in the back of your subconscious all the time, irritating you. I wish I would have did this, and I wish I would have said that, and I wish I would have got this one. And as a little boy was doing the other day, trying to get a bunch of his buddies together to go take care of these neighborhood kids that were bothering him. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. I wish I would have thought of this back then. I wish I would have been able to strategically plan the way I would have did it. Oh, I would have got him. Why don't you forgive him? Why don't you forgive that girl that used to make fun of you because you had, you know, acne or freckles or whatever it was at school, and she made fun of you and you can't forgive her and you hope that she trips and falls and gains 80 pounds? Why don't you forgive her? Sometimes it goes deeper than that. Sometimes there's things that we face in life that we had no control over. Sometimes we lost a relative at a young age and we didn't have that person there to help develop us. And we didn't have certain things. Maybe you was abused as a child. Maybe you were pushed around. Maybe you were shoved around or slapped around or called names or whatever it would be. And it's something about that ingrained in a little bit of your character. And you have such a hard time letting go and forgiving those things because you were just a kid and you couldn't control those things. And you didn't have any say in those things. And those people took advantage of you financially or physically or whatever it would be. They took advantage of a little kid that didn't have any choice. And how can you forgive them when they didn't even want forgiveness? Forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Maybe it's some of you parents that maybe somebody picked on your kid. Maybe you'd like to just catch them in a dark alley and really work them over. I struggle with that, Brother Hoover. When it comes to my own kids, you can mess with me and call me names, but you better be careful if you go after my kids. But the Spirit of Christ says, forgive that person. The Spirit of Christ says, if it wasn't for me, you'd be that same type of person. If it wasn't for me forgiving you and you recognizing it, you'd be the worst sinner in the city, maybe. It's hard for us to forgive somebody else sometimes when they don't want forgiveness. Judas, when he betrayed Christ, the difference between him and Peter had denied Christ as well. Peter was just as guilty as Judas was. He didn't sell him for money. He sold him out for fear. He was afraid. He didn't want to go through. He didn't want to bear his own cross. But the difference between Judas and Peter was that Peter could accept the atonement, but Judas couldn't accept the atonement. It was too much. He couldn't forgive himself. St. Paul comes along in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Right. Now, I don't think Paul was just mincing words and that he just, you know, wanted to be real humble and make an appearance to everybody like, oh my, you know, I'm just the lowest of the low and the worst of the worst. I don't think this was just a facade that St. Paul was putting on and that he just wanted to display himself as a humble person. But I believe St. Paul, looking back at his past, he really genuinely felt this way because he had stood there and been consenting to the death of Stephen. He had held the coats of these men. And he says, God came to save sinners, whom I'm the chief of sinners. And he really felt this way. And no doubt Satan would beat this man up mentally for the rest of his life. Maybe he'd wake up in a cold sweat at night thinking about the little Stephen standing there saying, Father, forgive him. What if Stephen hadn't forgave? And here stands this man that's going to be the next church age messenger. And this sin goes before him because it's unforgiven. It would have been easy for Stephen to stand there and say, avenge me, Father. Here I am. I'm helpless. I can't do it on my own. I have no ability to be able to deliver myself from this situation. Come and avenge me. But he said, forgive him. Right. Forgive him. And here in the crowd, a predestinated seed that needed to be forgiven. And that forgiveness trickles down, comes down to the throne of God. And he says, I've called to remembrance what Stephen said down there. This man's forgiven. If Stephen could forgive him, I'll forgive him too. Not only will I forgive him, I'll redeem him so pure and so holy and so white and so blood-bought that he can stand up and be my first church age messenger. There were probably a lot of people that had a hard time having grace for St. Paul. Don't go over to his meeting. He put my grandma in prison one time. I wouldn't step inside that meeting for nothing. Oh, I remember back when he was doing this and he was doing that, and they wouldn't have nothing to do with it. But it didn't matter what they thought. Grace had provided an atonement for St. Paul. Grace had provided a covering for St. Paul. Grace had provided a bleach for St. Paul to wear his sins that which were scarlet were white as snow. And St. Paul could stand there with all of his past and all of his troublemaking of the church and everything that he did. He could stand there white and holy enough to be the first church age messenger. And he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. If God could forgive a man like that, and even Satan, no doubt, constantly battling him. But what about little Stephen back there? What about what you did? How could God ever really truly forgive you? And maybe he had to fight that and push that out of his mind mentally for the rest of his life. Satan would try to bring that up and try to pick at that scab and say, oh, you'll never make it, Paul. Why would he predestinate somebody like you that would do what you did to little Stephen down there? And he would bring that up over and over and over again. But Paul would have to say, his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient. It wasn't me. It wasn't my education. It wasn't my good works. It wasn't anything. It was him that chose me. It was him that called me. It was him that elected me. It was him that predestinated me through all my faults, through all my failures. I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning.
Amen.
That you can have grace for yourself. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I already forgave that guy. I went down at that last high school reunion. I said, you remember when you did this and that on the playground? He didn't even remember it. And here it had been keeping me awake for 20 years. I said, well, I forgive you anyway. And just like a 100-pound weight went off of my heart. I can sleep at night now. That doesn't bother me anymore. What is it, the power to forgive? You can hold that and let it weigh you down. Let it change who you are as a person. Let it control how you treat others. And whether you let others in as friends or not, you can let it control you. Or you can say, I'm not carrying this weight around anymore.
Right.
I forgive them.
Amen.
Sometimes we can do that. But the hard part is forgiving ourselves. Forgiving ourselves for what we did way back somewhere. And you say, oh, I've went to the altar and I've asked God to forgive me, but I just can't get rid of it. He don't even remember it then.
Right.
And we go and we ask God for forgiveness, and he brings down, washes us white as snow, cleans the slate, wipes off all the history. Some of you brothers that have to go in and clear out your internet history. Jesus had a delete button long before Bill Gates created it. And people would go in and say, God, forgive me. Delete. Wipe the history clean. Start afresh. Start anew. And then we let Satan beat us up for the next 6 years. Oh, you'll never find grace. You'll never be forgiven. I already am forgiven.
Amen.
He already forgave me. In fact, he forgave me even before I asked. He was just waiting to hear me say it so that that weight could be taken away from me. It's hard sometimes to forgive ourselves. Everybody else looks at you and, oh my, such a good sister, such a good brother. And my, they come to church and they do this. And, oh, they're so kind to everybody. But they don't see that 100-pound weight that we're dragging around of what we did 20 years ago or 6 months ago or 3 days ago. And they don't see the little mistakes that we live with and all the little things that we pick apart about ourselves. And they don't see that. When we drag that weight around, how can I be forgiven? It's simple. You just are.
Amen.
You are because he said you were.
Amen.
Right.
Brother Bram tells the story of Abraham Lincoln, how that man had ran in battle because he got scared. And he ran off and deserted. And they had him in a military prison and was going to hang him. Abraham Lincoln heard about it. The boy's mother had wrote and asked him for forgiveness and pleased to do something about this situation. And he wrote, pardoned. Put the man's name and signed Abraham Lincoln to it. They tried to take it down and give it to the man. Bring him out of jail. And he said, get away from me. Don't tease me. Don't mess with me. If that was Lincoln's letter, it'd have some great letterhead and some great seal. It'd be some great something. Take it away. And they took it away and they hung the man. And then they found out that here this letter was that the man was pardoned. And they went ahead and hung him anyhow. And it started to go through the different courts and wound its way all the way up in Supreme Court that this man had been pardoned by the president. And they went ahead and hung him anyhow. And the Supreme Court ruled that a pardon is only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon.
Right.
You're pardoned this morning. Jesus paid the pardon. You couldn't pay it. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't inherit it. No matter how good your daddy and your mama was or how well your granddaddy knew Brother Branham, you couldn't inherit it or deserve it. But he came and with a free gift said, you're pardoned.
Amen.
Just as Abraham Lincoln, even though he didn't know this man, he sits down out of sympathy and compassion for the boy's mother. He signs pardoned across the letter and sends it. Jesus, he did know you. He knew your faults. He knew your mistakes. He knew your shortcomings. He knew your ups and your downs and your victories and your failures. And he looked anyhow and he wrote right across it, not with a pen and a quill, but with his own blood, pardoned.
Hallelujah.
Wipe away the record. But it's only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon. The Message of Grace, 1961. Brother Branham says, God's grace is like this. One time there was a mighty king, and this mighty king had a son, and it was his only son. One day a murderer killed that boy, and through that kingdom went the delegates hunting for that murderer. They finally found that murderer, and when they found him, they brought him back and imprisoned him. When they did, a trial was set and a sentence was made. Oh, it was a terrible thing. He had murdered the king's son, and he knowed what was coming to him. He goes down a few paragraphs, and he says, one day the king went down to the place to visit the boy, to tell him, talk to him, and tell him about killing his own son, the only son he had. He'd killed that boy, and he said, I'm going down to talk to him. When he went down there, he looked in that cage like a caged-in animal. He saw this little skinny body laying back there in a corner, crying, his face all sunk in, his jaws sunk back, his eyes way back. Matter was all in his eyes, and his mouth was all whited over, no water, thirsty, laying back there on his face, crying. The king said, stand up. He come up to him. He looked at him. He said, why did you kill my son? What did my son do to you? What did he do to merit such a death as you killed him, stabbing him to death with a spear? He said, nothing, my Lord, not one thing. Just my own impudence, just my own ways. I killed him because I was jealous of him and I got in a temper fit and I killed him. He said, I'm to die under your justice, sir. I realize that and I deserve to do it. Only thing I'm crying for that I'm just sorry that I killed that royal man like that without a cause. The king turned on his heels and walked out and went to the desk and said, destroy all the records. Brother Ram says, you know, put them in the sea of forgetfulness. Destroy all the records. Wash him up and bring him up. I'll send down a robe for him. After a while, a great big limousine drove up to the door. When it did, a carpet was spread out to the prison cell. The king stood at the end of the limousine and said, come, my son, ride with me to the palace. Put the king's robe around his shoulder. He said, from henceforth, you are my son, because he had pity. He said, that's grace.
Amen.
That was me. That was you, he said.
Right.
We killed the Son of God with our sins. We were alien, dirty, filthy, laying in the cells of the world. God washed us by the blood of his own son and cleansed us. Put on the robe of the Holy Spirit. Now the great chariot of God will back up to the door someday. And we'll go home to live with him. Oh my. He says all records are destroyed. We can't be judged no more. Burn them up. He put them in the sea of forgiveness. Remembers about it no more. No wonder we can sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, grace, as Brother David, I believe it was Brother David Seiler, preached when grace became amazing. That day that you recognized, that wasn't just for somebody else. That was for me. That it was me. It was my sins that sent him to a cross. It was my mistakes that he hung and died for. It was my regrets. It was my shame that he took. But yet he could look down and forgive us.
Yes.
Can we forgive ourselves this morning? Can we accept the pardon that he gave for us? It's only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon. Can we forgive others with the same type of forgiveness that he forgave us? Say, I forgive you. I know you didn't ask for it. Maybe they don't even deserve it. But I forgive you. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve his forgiveness. We had made mistake after mistake and flaw after flaw. And we had belly flopped and tried to do good on our own. We tried to make a new resolution, try to have a new way of doing things, a new order, a new this, a new that, a new program, a new 10-step program of how to do something. God looked down and said, I'm bringing you out of all that. That'll never get you where you need to be, but I'm going to lift you up a little higher. Hallelujah. All the regrets and all the shame, all the pain, all the suffering, I'm going to lift you up above that if you can just accept this pardon that I've given you. I'm going to lift you to a higher place. I'm going to give you the power to forgive if you can use it. It's there this morning. Maybe you've got things that you've held back. Somebody did to you or your children or your family members or somebody of yours or something. Maybe you've held that back in your heart for years and years and years. You have the power to forgive this morning. Maybe you've already forgave somebody else, but those little besetting sins that you've done, you've asked God to forgive you, but you haven't really had the nerve to forgive yourself because you still remember even though he doesn't. There's forgiveness this morning. There's mercy. There's grace. The very fact that he would bring you and sit you in a church like this morning, have enough love and enough mercy to bring you from wherever he brought you from. Maybe you were a junkie out in an alley somewhere doing drugs. Maybe you was on a bar stool. Maybe you was in some nominal church with the religious spirit. Wherever that he brought you from. Maybe you was raised in a message home and you tried to live a message checklist because that was what your parents wanted. But really deep down inside, you wanted other things. And you ran and you ran and you ran. I don't know where he brought you from. But the very fact that you're sitting here this morning means that grace has smiled down on you and found you somewhere. The very fact that you know about God sending a prophet in this age, grace looked down and called you when there was millions and millions of others out here that don't have a bit more idea than nothing. And grace brought you this far. Don't let Satan beat you out of the rest of it. Don't let him lie to you and tell you, you can never forgive that person. You can never forgive yourself. You can never let go of these things. God gives you the power to forgive this morning. If he gave you the power to bring you this far, he can give you the power to forgive. Amen. You believe it? Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Wonder how many would slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, there's things that I've Satan has tried to beat me up over, he's tried to hinder me, he's tried to prevent me. Things from my childhood, other kids or people that upset me. I've held that in my heart. I've held bitterness when I should have let it go. I want to be able to extend forgiveness this morning. People have talked about me. They've made fun of me. Some of you sisters for your long hair. Some of you brothers because you wouldn't smoke or drink on the job or look at some of the filthy stuff they wanted you to. You were trying to do your very best. You weren't doing anything wrong, but they made fun of you and kicked you around and shoved you around. Finally, you got bitterness in your heart. You say, Brother Nathan, I should have forgave that person. I want to forgive this morning. That person at my school or in my family or some friend that did me wrong, some co-worker, whatever it would be, I want to have forgiveness in my heart. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you've forgiven the very best that you know how, but there's something about it. All the things you've been through, you're just having a hard time forgiving yourself of your past, or having a hard time forgiving yourself of your mistakes, having a hard time forgiving yourself when you know God has already forgiven you, but you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. How many slip up your hands and say, Brother Nathan, I want to have the courage not only to forgive others, but to forgive myself of that record that Satan brings to my remembrance. He might bring it to your remembrance, but there's one, if you've asked forgiveness, there's one that doesn't remember it. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. As human beings, we can forgive, but we can't forget. Many times we hold things back. I remember this and I remember that. But he doesn't even remember it anymore. So why don't you stop letting Satan beat you up over it every day, and making you drag that 100-pound weight around? It's forgiven. If you accepted the pardon, the Bible said, who the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't have to be bound anymore. You're freed, and you're free this morning in the name of Jesus. Not because Brother Nathan said so, because Jesus said so in his word. Amen. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning for the power to forgive. Not only others that have done wrong to us, Lord, but thank you for the power to forgive ourselves once we've recognized that you forgave us already, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to recognize the pardon that you signed with your own blood. You said they're forgiven. They're redeemed. Help us to accept it this morning, Lord. Lord, maybe if others would look at our lives, they would walk away and scratch their head and say, I don't know how that guy can ever be forgiven. I don't know how that woman can ever be forgiven. But Jesus looked down and he knew every detail. He knew every little dirty secret. He knew everything we'd hid back from everybody else. And he reached down and he wrote pardon across our record. Said, destroy the records, cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. I won't even remember it anymore. Satan still remembers and he still tries to bring it, as Brother Branham taught us, to the senses of our spirit. He tries to bring it to our accusing memory, try to throw it in our face and try to bind us down, try to keep us from living the victorious life that we should in Christ, because he's constantly throwing these things in our face. But Father, help them to recognize this morning, it's finished. It's pardoned. It's over. You don't even remember it. And Satan can huff and puff and try to throw it in our face all he wants, but it's a finished work at Calvary. The record's been wiped clean. It's been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. You don't even remember it, Father. Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Father, Lord, may we recognize it this morning. May we accept it by your grace, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I hope you can accept it this morning. You can walk out of here free this morning. All those things that have been binding you down, weighing you down, beating you up, you don't have to walk out of here with those this morning. You're free. Amen. Let's sing it together this morning. Are you thankful for grace? Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for grace. It was amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it saved a wretch like me. You know I once was lost. Oh, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now thank God I see. It was grace that brought my soul heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that I first believed. All through many dangers, toils, and snares, Lord, I just His grace hath brought me saved thus far, and His grace, it will lead me home. Oh, as they play that this morning, why don't you just think back to where grace found you? Even when you didn't deserve it, you hadn't done nothing to be able to deserve it, but grace found you somewhere. Amen. Aren't you thankful for grace? That grace would look down, pull you up out of the miry clay. You didn't deserve it. There was nothing you could do to be able to earn it, but grace looked down, called you out, called you aside, set you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful for grace this morning. Let's sing it this way together. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Oh, through many dangers, toils, and snares, Lord, I have already. It's just Your grace hath brought me safe.
God.
God's doing things. Amen. God's granting healing and restoration, victory. Amen. His presence is here this morning. Amen. I had this song in my heart. I've never sang it. I don't know what key to sing it in, so it may be a mess, but I just had it on my heart. You help me sing it this morning if you know it. It happened so long ago. Cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus, begged him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it, just won't go away. So I wept again, Lord, wash my sin. This is all he'd say. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. Help me sing it this morning. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, quick to forgive our sin. So let him put them under the blood. Don't bring them up again, 'cause he'll just say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away. All praise him this morning. His presence is here. What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Yes, Lord. It was buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weak this way. When I hear you say, what sin? what sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? Church, tell me what sin, oh, what sin, it was gone the very minute you confessed. Oh, yes, it's buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, what sin? What sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? What sin? What sin? Every minute you confessed, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, you love him this morning. You don't have to be bound anymore. Amen. It's already forgiven. Amen. Let's sing this. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise your name. This battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, whatever you're going through this morning, oh, I know it's already done. Oh, it's already done. We praise your name. Lord, my battle is over. My victory is won. Oh, he gave me power to forgive. So I'll praise his name. Oh, this battle is over. My victory is won. It's already done. Oh, let's sing it this way. Oh, Lord, and I know I'm forgiven too. Oh, hallelujah. I know I'm forgiven too. So I'll praise your name. Oh, these battles, they're over. Victory is won. It's already done. I shall overcome. Oh, I know I shall overcome. Oh, I know I shall overcome. And I'll praise his name. For my battle is over. Oh, maybe you're sick in body this morning, but I want to testify and tell you it's a finished work at Calvary. Oh, yes, and I'm already healed. Oh, hallelujah, I'm already healed. Praise his name. This battle is over. Oh, maybe you've got loved ones that have strayed. Why don't we sing it this way with all our hearts? Oh, my family is sealed. I don't care what the devil says. Oh, my family is sealed. Praise his name. Oh, the battle is over. Oh, there's victory. Oh, it's already done. Let's sing it that way again together. Oh, Lord, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah. All my family is sealed. So I praise your name. My battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Thank you, Father, 'cause I know it's already done.
What a mighty God my Jesus is. What a mighty God I know He is. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His people pressing on, pressing on. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord.
To stay and practice their song. So let's sing that as we go. God bless you, saints.
I'm gonna keep pressing on. We're pressing on. We're pressing on to the high. We're pressing on to the high.